the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. The book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. The book of Ruth is remarkable for the calling of this Moabitess and bringing her into the land of Israel to enjoy the blessings of that land of Israel. We shall not begin to attempt to understand the strange providences of God that should have taken Naomi and her husband and her two sons down into Moab. Mysterious are the works of God, and there are some times when, in regard to the things that may be done by the children of God, cause us to remain silent. God gives no account of his matters. Though it may seem strange that Naomi should have left Israel with all its blessings, despite the fact that there was a famine in the land, and go down into Moab, where was a land of idolatry, even though there was sufficient to satisfy the present daily needs, this is a mystery indeed. We are able, however, to see the end of the matter, which is that Ruth was called, Ruth was wrought upon, Ruth was brought into the fold of the people of God. We should not take it upon ourselves to regard this portion as justification for going down into Moab, leaving the blessings of Israel, even though there is a famine in the land. Not every person that would follow such a course may ultimately be able to see the purpose of God in it. Now, we see in the earlier verses, first of all, the sad losses of which Naomi was called upon to sustain, the loss of her husband and the loss of her two sons. And so, we read subsequently of the profound change which these circumstances had upon her. When she returned, the people said, "Is this Naomi? What a changed person from the person that left us." The trials of life, the chastisements of God, will certainly make a change in a person. And if we should return to our former associates, they may well say, "Is this Naomi? Is this Naomi? The one that was so full of blessing? The one that was so favored of the Lord? Is this Naomi that now comes back in the bitterness of her spirit, in the sadness of her heart, because of the losses that she has sustained?" But then, there were things yet to be wrought out. There were things yet to be revealed. And though sorrow may endure for a night, yet joy cometh in the morning. With Naomi it had been a night, and we may say, if we might be allowed the expression, it had been a nightmare with her because of the strange things that had happened. Undoubtedly she felt the impact upon her own spirit. But there was to come a day of joy. There was to come a day of revelation. There was to come a time when God would manifest his great work, when Ruth would be married to Boaz, And that in this there should be a blessed type set before us for the generations to come of the wonder of God calling his church and bringing that church to Christ as represented in Ruth, and Boaz as representing in type the Lord Jesus Christ. So, in looking at that point, we may see the beauty, if grace is given, which is to be drawn from this book of Ruth. However, with regard to our meditation this evening, we are called upon to consider a time of decision. A time of decision. This is not the kind of decision that may be heard about in some religious circles. Nevertheless, it was a time of decision. It is good for us to be brought to times of decision. Indecision can have a dreadful effect upon any person, and it must have an effect which could be very adverse even to one's health of body and mind. Nevertheless, this point of decision was not reached until the painful situation had been set before Ruth and Orpah. Naomi had put before them the seriousness of the matter. She couldn't promise them anything. Indeed, she herself had suffered so much loss, and now she was going home to her relatives and so on. But what could she offer these women? Could she offer them husbands? Could she replace the sons that have been taken away? And therefore, she uses many entreaties, pointing out the futility of associating themselves any longer with her. The Holy Ghost causes this situation to arise in order that the hearts of men, or these rather in this case, the women, might be revealed. Now we need sometimes some painful situations to arise in order that our hearts and our thoughts might be revealed. What is hidden in your heart and mine? And therefore God brings a testing time, as he did to Ruth. And Naomi, as you will observe, she was persuasive. She certainly was. But she was persuasive that it would be wiser for these two women to go back. Now there was the purpose of God in this, because sometimes this kind of persuasion will bring out what is the real truth in a person. And it brought out the real truth in respect to Ruth herself. So when Naomi had said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods, return thou after thy sister-in-law." How very different from the clamor of some who would do all they could to at least have gained one person to the cause of God. But here we find Naomi suggesting that she should return unto her people and unto her gods. Now can we see a person that God is dealing with, bringing out of an ungodly world, an idolatrous world? How should we deal with such a person? Could we venture? Have we faith enough to say, "Well, now you return. You return unto your gods. You return unto your pleasures." How manifest would be the work of God in the soul of such a person if that person was to say, like Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. Or to return from following after thee. Now there was a clinging which was beyond nature discovered here. There was something that prevented Ruth from returning unto her gods, returning unto her people, returning unto those amongst whom she had dwelt all her life, even returning unto those that she might call her kith and kin. Why? Because there was something that she saw in Naomi. And what was that? It was this, that the grace of God was in this mother-in-law of Ruth. She was sustained in a remarkable way by Almighty God. The gods that she had been accustomed to worship, idols, they had no power to sustain in the time of trouble. They had no power to uphold when losses had to be met. But Naomi was upheld. Naomi was sustained. Naomi was held on our way. Naomi was still found worshipping the living God. And Ruth evidently lived close enough to Naomi to see the effect of grace in that woman's heart. Winning souls for Christ will be affected in this way more than in any other way. There are many people that will watch the people of God, and we know not how many people are watching us. Now, what will they see in us? Will they see the grace of God exhibited, especially in the time of loss, especially in the time of bereavement, especially in the time of adversity? Will they see, although they may not be able to describe it, he lends an unseen hand and gives a secret prop? And because of this, Ruth says, entreat me not to leave thee. Cannot we believe this? That the grace of God was observed in this mother in Israel. She had no high opinion of herself. And yet, by her quiet walking and her constancy, even down in the land of Moab, there was a soul, as we may term it, one for Christ. A soul that was drawn after that person because that person was seen to be drawn after Christ. Entreat me not to leave thee. Now you see, this strange persuasion to go back and join her people and join her idols was the very means by which God used to bring out what was in this woman's heart. And maybe some of you might have had the same kind of experience where a person, to your astonishment, has suggested that you should go back, join the world, that you should go back and put your confidence in the world and worship the idols of the world and not bother to continue, because here we walk in the pathway of tribulation. Here many things that are a pleasure in the world have to be forsaken. Will you continue? I say, the question may well be put, now will you continue? If you come with me, I can't promise you any easy path. I cannot promise you the pleasures that the world appears to enjoy. You know what they are. You can see what they are. Now, why don't you go back and enjoy them? At least you know. But what do you see here? A pathway of sorrow, and that pathway alone. That's as far as you can see. But it goes on, leads to the place where sorrow is unknown. Well, now, cannot we say that Ruth saw that? She, as it were, penetrated by the grace of God through all that. She saw, with regard to her own nation, that all was vanity and vexation of spirit. All was to no purpose. All was empty. All was vain. But here, there was that in Naomi's profession, poor as it was, that was different from anything that Moab could give her. We read in another part of God's word that Moab was particularly noted for its pride. And then again we also read concerning Moab that it was not emptied from vessel to vessel, and in consequence it remained saturated as well as satisfied in the pride of its heart. And so Moab would be proud of its living, would be proud of its idolatry, would be proud of its pleasures. How typical of the world that lieth in the hands of the wicked one. How proud they are of everything. But here is one that God has dealt with. And it means leaving her pride. Leaving that whereby she could lift up her head above everyone else. And associate herself with one whom the proud in Moab would not wish to associate with. But Ruth says, "Entreat me not to leave thee. Say no more about my going back to my gods. Say no more about my going back to my people. I'm drawn after thee. Drawn after thee, surely, by the loving drawing of the Father. The Father draws his chosen race with a bond to Jesus Christ and to the people of God. Are we drawn to the people of God? And if they should suggest, well, if you come with us, what can we promise you? If you come with us, how often it might be the case, we're only a few people, to find that God's work in the soul by such argument is discovered. Entreat me not to leave thee. Speak no further to suggest that I should leave thee, or to return from following after thee. There is some significance in this word, or return from following after thee. What a change had been taken place in this Moabitess. Pride will want to be first, but this woman, blessed with the grace of God, blessed with humility, was ready to be a follower, or to return from following after thee. Despite that which Naomi had said, giving her no hope for the future, according to the thinking of this life, yet surely there was this wrought by the Spirit of God in Ruth's heart, that if she followed her, she would surely lead her into a good place. She would surely lead her to that place of blessing which Naomi had evidently known in earlier years, even if at the present time she felt to be sadly in a sorrowful state, not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. And now she comes with her confession. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where was Naomi likely to go? If we look upon Naomi as a type of a Christian person, she was likely to go where Christ was to be found. And there therefore Ruth says, whither thou goest, there will I go. And it may be that some have felt that kind of feeling in their hearts as they have been at a point. Perhaps some of you might look back over the years and you might remember a time when you were searching for the truth and you weren't sure where the truth was, and then you suddenly discovered one that knew the truth, and therefore you said, for whither thou goest, I will go, because I shall be led to the truth. I shall be led to find that for which I seek. In this world of deceit and lies and every evil thing, if our eyes are open to see the end of all those things, there's one thing which we're seeking for above another, it is the truth. And the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. For whither thou goest, I will go. The psalmist said, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of his righteousness, even of his only. In Ruth's observations of Naomi, would she have seen the occasions when she went in the strength of the Lord God? Might she not have come to the conclusion that she could not have continued unless she had gone in the strength of the Lord God? I will go. Whither thou goest, I will go. Now we think of the case of Queen Esther in her dilemma, when the edict had gone forth that all the Jews were to be destroyed and exterminated. She said, I will go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. People brought under a conviction of their sins so that they feel that they are under the edict of death, that judgment is before them, that hell is before them, but have sometimes felt some consolation in that little history of Esther in her situation. I can but perish if I go. I am resolved to try, for if I stay away, I know I must forever die. For whither thou goest, I will go. It is observable that Ruth saw that there was to be a going. Not a standing still. It need not mean a fast going. It need not mean a running. It might sometimes not even be a walking. But there was a going. Whither thou goest, I will go. And furthermore, in the going, slow as it was, surrounded with timidity as it was, nevertheless there was a going. And the going was the result of drawing. And the going was to the land of Israel. What was in the land of Israel that characterized them and distinguished them from any other country? All the nations at that time knew that Israel was blessed with the presence of God. And so we may say that Naomi was going to that place where the presence of God was known to exist, where the presence of God was known to be a power, where the presence of God was known to be a defense, where the presence of God was known to be a deliverer from all the nations round about, where the presence of God was known to be a terror to all the nations round about. For whither thou goest, I will go. And she needed leading. Leading. If Naomi was walking by faith, how much more was Ruth walking by faith? Naomi had an experience of God, of his wonderful works. Ruth was, as it were, on the beginning, in the beginning of it. But she had seen sufficient of the work in Naomi to believe that she could go. She could feel safe in saying to Naomi, whither thou goest, I will go. Because you'll lead me into the truth. You'll lead me into the right way. How good it is to be favored with mothers in Israel. It may be said that in our day there is a lack of mothers in Israel, but there are some. There are some. And maybe some will listen to mothers in Israel. Mothers in Israel to them. And when they're in difficulty and perplexity, they will say, now whither thou goest, I will go. Because I'm sure that the steps you take will lead me on to what steps will be taken. They will be steps in prayer. Whither thou goest, I will go. And is there not a turning aside by the mothers in Israel, by the people of God? A step, a going to the throne of grace. You see, the people of God, they don't just go on and on. How many times they have to go, but in their going, turn aside. And pray unto God that he will direct their steps. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Lead me by thy powerful hand. Whither thou goest, I will go. We shall find the children of God, the mothers in Israel, going to the word of God. My early days of Christian experience were blessed days, in that I was brought under the instruction of a mother in Israel. And in connection with her, I can say this: whither thou goest, I will go. And how often she went to the Bible. How often. Now I can remember her saying it now. What does the Bible say? Whither thou goest, I will go. Now you see, we may not be so conversant with the Bible as some. And therefore it will be good to have this company on the way to heaven. Whither thou goest, I will go. We're in a perplexity, we're in a difficulty. What does the scripture say? Can you lead me to it? Whither thou goest, I will go. How much need there is as we walk on our way Zionward
to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, do we need to consult the Word of God. And so, as Naomi went along, as the children of God go along, there will be this observed: whither thou goest, I will go. And here we may stop a moment to examine our own selves. Is this where we go? Will others observe us and say, ah, I cannot see them, but I know where they've gone. They've gone to the throne of grace. They've gone to the Word of God. They've gone to join prayer with each inspection, that they may know the way that is to be taken. They've gone to Him who alone knows the way. Remember how wonderfully competent Job was when he said, thou knowest the way that I, he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He knoweth the way that I take. So, whither thou goest, I will go. I will betake me to him who knows the way that I take. And that way is an appointed way. As Job speaks in the same chapter, and many, he appointed the thing, he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. So then, whither thou goest, I will go. And then, I will go in the strength of the Lord, walking by faith, depending upon him day by day. The people of God do not go on rashly. They do not go on haphazardly. But they go walking by faith, not by sight, depending upon God, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now what a blessing for people to see in us our walk, that they may say, whither thou goest, I will go. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith also. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. We read in the book of Judges about the shooting of the archers in the places of drawing water. And there they shall rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord with those that lodge in the villages. From that we may draw a conclusion in respect to this: where thou lodgest. Lodging in those places where God's people meet together. Now we should observe this point. The word is lodging. Lodging. Which is very distinct from settling down. It is true that some God has appointed to lodge and remain in a certain place all their days. And we see this naturally speaking. There are those that will be born in a house and die in the same house, while others will be moved about many times. Now a lodging is for a time, and we move on, we lodge elsewhere. But Ruth says, where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Yeah. May we consider this in respect to the cleft of the rock. If we are born again, the places where the children of God will lodge and desire to lodge continually, wherever they may be, will be in the cleft of the rock. Now you will remember, perhaps, the desire of Moses when God gave him that assurance that his presence would go with him. And Moses said, "Show me now thy glory." And we find that when Moses had made that request, he said this, "Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of a rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." A cleft of the rock. Top Lady has this well-known hymn on this point, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." A cleft of the rock will be a hiding place. We turn to Isaiah 32, we find this, "And a man shall be a hiding place from the storm and from the tempest. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Under the shadow of thy wings." We find the psalmist making a declaration, "He that dwelleth in the secret places, in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge." Now, had there not been many opportunities for Ruth to observe that Naomi dwelt, lodged under the shadow of the Almighty. And the shadow of the Almighty was particularly distinguished by the blood. "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." We are not given the detail of things that took place in Moab during the sojourn of Naomi and her husband and her sons there. But we know this, that adverse troubles, trials, come upon all. But what a difference is felt in the heart of those who dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. In other words, who dwell in the shadow of a great rock in a weary land, a rock that is made known and distinguished by the blood of the everlasting covenant. "Where thou lodgest, I will lodge." Shall we find that in our heart, that was in the heart of Ruth, that she could lodge, she could feel safe, she could feel secure under the blood of the covenant, under the blood of Christ, the blood set forth at the Passover. And the Israelites knew the significance of it, and they knew the power of it, and they knew the preservation that it gave, and they knew the favor that it bestowed upon them. But we should notice this, the wonderful condescension of the Almighty God. He says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And God will see the blood very often a long time before we can see it or see the significance of it. But God looks at it right from the beginning. Where thou lodgest, will I lodge. In a dwelling wherein the lintel and the doorpost has been marked with blood. Without being sentimental, it is some consolation for our faith sometimes to stretch forth to believe that our own dwellings are under the blood. Some people, some of God's people, have had remarkable experiences where their own places have been preserved. I know there are others that have lost their dwellings, but in the cases where their dwellings have been preserved, might they not have praised God and felt deeply humbled in the presence of God, because God looked on the blood, and as he looked on the blood, the avenging angel passed over them. And it was God that looked on the blood. We shall do well to look on the blood. Where thou lodgest, will I lodge. And then again, the lodging may be said to be in agreement with that precious word of truth, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Now what a place this is to lodge in. Lodge under the eye of God. Lodge under the eye of God in the daytime, and lodge under the eye of God in the night time. And shall we not remember that which is written, he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Where thou lodgest, will I lodge. Now, had Ruth observed this remarkable feature of Naomi's lodging, that she lodged under the eye of God? The eye of God which was watching over her, also watching about her enemies as well, watching about the pride of Moab, and sometimes saying, thus far shalt thou come, and no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. The next point we will consider in this connection, he will rest in his love. And as Zephaniah speaks in connection with God himself, he will rest in his love. So may it be said concerning the people of God that they rest, they lodge in the love of God. Have you felt that to be your lodging place? And have others observed it to be your lodging place? Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Oh, that I might be granted the favor to lodge where you lodge, in the love of God. Now you see, how is the love of God manifested? Sometimes it is manifested like this. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Have you lodged there? And when you've lodged there, have you not felt that you've been lodging in the love of God? The mercy of God, the compassion of God also. But then, as we have mentioned, He will rest in his love. In this world, there is little rest. The Word of God tells us, and let God be true and every man a liar, that there is no rest to the wicked, none at all. They're like a troubled sea, casting up mire and dirt. But there is a rest that remaineth to the people of God. And that rest is not necessarily to be considered as when we come to heaven itself. You know, the people of God, they rest. Rest in the promises he has spoken. Rest upon the foundation of their hope, which is laid in oaths and promises and blood, where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Good it is to have a desire after good things. If God has created in us a desire, then he will subsequently create in us that which is the performance. For it is written, it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Now, what a change has been wrought here. Has it been wrought in our heart and in our experience? Have we had such a complete turnabout, as it were? Thy people shall be my people. Leaving, forgetting her father's house, and cleaving unto a people that she knew little about. But she knew, if Naomi was an example, that these people were a favored people. And it may have been that there was a familiarity with that reference which is made in the book of Deuteronomy, where we read, and of Naphtali, he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. Then coming down to the last verse of that chapter, happy art thou, O Israel. O people, who is like unto thee? O people, saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? Thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread on their high places. Thy people shall be my people. What a wonderful claim for a person to make. To forsake our own people, forsake our own family, as Ruth had done. Forsake her former life and cleave to another people, even in this early stage. And it was an early stage in her experience. She had not yet enjoyed the benefits that she was to enjoy when she came into the gospel field in all its fullness, and when she was to come under the surveillance of Boaz, and when she was subsequently to know the blessings which are contained in the gospel field, and the beauty that was to be discovered in Boaz himself. These things she had not yet learned. She had not had experience of, but she had had sufficient. And it may be said that what she had had was not particularly attractive. And yet God had done something within her that caused her to say, thy people shall be my people. Because I can see this, that they're a favored people. And I can see this, that God is with them. And so we may remember this, if God be for us, who can be against us? God's people. Now it is a great blessing to have that in our hearts that will make us willing to associate with the people of God and to find in the people of God something that all other people haven't got. They may be poor, despised for God, but their own God he changes not. And because of this, we have this confession, thy people shall be my people. Is it possible that she could make such a demand? God had brought in her soul that which caused her to express such a determination. Has God done that with us, that he has given us such a determination that we might be numbered with the people of God? With them numbered may I be now and through eternity. Thy people shall be my people. We shall have to leave it for this evening at this point.